Says the Mishnah, Chav Chesam and Beis. Kol Shavas Hayam Adam Osu Sukkos Keva U Beiso Arai. Yardu Gishamim Eimatayim Mutar Lefanot. Okay, we'll come back to that. So for 7 days, you have the Sukkos Keva U Beiso Arai. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Kol Shavas Hayam Adam Osu Sukkos Keva U Beiso Arai. Ketzad. Hayu Lo Kelim Noim Ma'alon L'Sukkah. Right? We already discussed this. If you had nice utensils, you bring them to the Sukkah. Matzot Noot Ma'alon L'Sukkah. If you have good bedspreads, good spreads, you bring them to the Sukkah. Ochel v'shose u'metayel v'sukkah. You eat and drink, and l'chor metayel. A few achronim say, how are you metayel in the sukkah? It might only be 7 al 7 tefachim. Pashas, metayel doesn't mean you go for a hike. Like we say to y'all, metayel means you entertain yourself. It's just a lushan of entertainment. Here, we saved you the best seat. So you do all these things in the sukkah. As a matter of fact, there's even a Darkei Moshe who says you should play cards in the sukkah. I'm not sure if you should play cards, but if you do play, you should play in the sukkah, or dice, or whatever they played in those days. Yes. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Raisa continues. There's plenty of seats here. The Raisa continues. Next you say you see for help. Okay, the Braisa continues. Minani milis, or rather the Gemara, Minani milis, the Tana Rabbanan, from this other Braisa, Teishu ke'en taduru, the mucker, all this, how do you know you should do all these things in the sukkah? Because it's Teishu ke'en taduru, Mikan omru, kol shavaz yamu, osa adam sukkah sukevo, besar rai, ketad hayu kelim noyim, ma'alam la sukkah, and the one thing it adds is umeshanin basukah, and you learn Torah in the sukkah. Ini the truva amar Rava mikro mitna b'mitalalta v'tanui dam mitalalta. Is this true? Didn't Rava say you should learn your Tanakh and your Mishnah in the sukkah, but you should learn your Gemara outside the sukkah? So lo kasha, no problem. So I had to say meshanin, which means Gemara outside the sukkah. No problem. There's two kinds of Gemara learning. Ha b'migras, ha b'iyune. There is just memorizing the facts, and then there is being ma'ayin in them. And how do we know there's two different kinds of Gemara learning? Ki ha derav varchama kevukaimi mikaime derav chista mirate, or maybe rava v'rami varchama. Okay, so reads better if you have on the side rava and rami varchama because there are two people because it's in plural. When they got off from chista shir mirate b'gemara b'hadi adadi, they would run through the Masorah of the Gemara with each other, meaning they would just review what he said. V'hadar ma'ayni b'svara, and then there would be ma'ayin in the logic of the matter. So we see there's two kinds of Gemara learning. So one kind of Gemara learning is you do in the sukkah, and one kind of Gemara learning you do outside the sukkah. And one is, you know, what we call, I guess what we call b'tias, meaning just memorizing the halachos. And one is being ma'ayin and thinking about it more deeply. Okay, there's a bit of a machlokas rishonin here as to which is which. Which is inside the sukkah, which is outside the sukkah. And there are, there are only two possible options. What are Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam say? What do they say? Which is in the sukkah and which is outside the sukkah?
So the
shinun
is in the sukkah, and the
no, they're both shinun, right? The migras
is in the sukkah,
exactly.
The yune is
the exactly. The migras is basukkah, and the ion is chutz basukkah. And the other opinion is Rabbeinu Chananel. And if I don't think it's on the course, if you look on the side of the rift, there's shitas rivav by the nephew of the Baal Amor. That we've quoted a few times, he says there himself, and he says he also found in the Ritz Gias the same Shita. But the, as Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rivav, he says no. Obviously, the other possibility is the Migras is Chutz L'Sukkah, and the Ion is in the Sukkah. Okay, what are the Svaras for these two possibilities? So what's the Svara for Rashi and Tosos and the Rambam? And the Rush I'll also put here. What's the Svara? Why is Migras in the Sukkah and Ion outside? Right, because Migras you can do in the Sukkah, but Ion is too hard to do in the Sukkah.
It's somewhat ironic that you say you need air, therefore you go into the house rather than
sukkah. Okay, so what they mean by air, I don't think it means you need air. I mean, Minastam, they had more air circulation in their sukkahs than their houses. I don't think aver means air. I think aver means space. Their sukkahs were falling apart. Their houses, we might also consider them falling apart by our standards, although not the Yerushalayim residents. Their houses were much bigger and their sukkahs were cramped. So by average, it means you need space. Like, if you're in a cramped space, you don't have the herchev hadat. You need to broaden your thought in order to be ma'ayin. And in a cramped space, you feel cramped. You don't feel that herchevat hadat. So you need that open space. So you go into the house, and it's not that you have better air circulation, but you have more open space. That is what Rashi says here. Tosa says, rochav avir, again, meaning not airflow. Meaning empty space, just space to think, right? It's hard to think if you're cramped, right? Your chitzonius has a hashpa'ah on your psychology, obviously. So why? Because, and what halachic category permits you to do iyun outside the sukkah if you have trouble doing it inside, says Rashi? Mitzar put in a sukkah. Mitzar doesn't have to mean you're suffering. It means you can't do what you need to do. You can't do your function, right? Mitzar teaching the do room, right? If you couldn't learn someplace, you would move someplace else, obviously.
From Rashi, sounds like a preemptive exemption.
Yes, so I think that's fair. I mean, the situation is there. You just haven't started to do something yet. That's perfectly fine. Like, for example, I'm sitting in the sukkah and it smells a little. Now I want to eat. But eating in this, when it smells, it's mitzvah for me. So I can go into the house. I don't have to eat first and then feel bad.
But why are you allowed to put yourself into a state of, meaning why can't you just learn something else that won't cause you?
Okay, so A, I think there are two answers, each of which is sufficient. A, teishu came to dur means you're allowed to do whatever you want. And if it puts you in, why are you allowed to be hochei drachim, right? In sukkah, you're allowed to lead your lifestyle. If that requires leaving the sukkah, so be it. That's a din of sukkah. Not to mention the fact that the Chi of Talmud Torah. The Chi of Talmud Torah is that you have to learn what you need to learn, that what will be progress for you, what you can achieve. You can't say, Chi of Talmud Torah, just learn, you know, say for Eov all day. That's not the Chi of Talmud Torah, right? Even because in Eon, like if you're up to Eon, that's the Chi of Talmud Torah for you. Right? The famous Maritz Chayas asks, Mevatlan Talmud Torah l'shmoa mikra Megillah. Gemara says, yes, how's it biddle Torah to hear Mikra Megillah? Megillah is part of Tanakh. He doesn't answer Tanakh doesn't count Talmud Torah. They hadn't invented that kind of shishka yet. He says, no, all of Torah is important. But if you're a guy who already knows the story of Megillas Esther very well, hearing it another time is not advancing your Talmud Torah the way that learning a few, you know, prakim of mikvos are. So therefore, it's biddle Torah to have to learn something that is not what you need to learn in what you're up to, as opposed to learning what you need to learn. So I think that's pashut. So here, Rashi says it's mitzta'er. Basically, says Rashi. Sorry. He is not mitzta'er, and here he is mitzta'er. Right? He is mitzvah because he can't be ma'ayin the sukkah. Why can't he be ma'ayin the sukkah? And here, there's can't be ma'ayin in the sukkah because, says Rashi and Tosfos, you need space. Right? It's too cramped. You can't learn in a cramped space. The Rush says something a little different. The Rush says you can't be ma'ayin in your sukkah because there's too many people there. It's too noisy. If you want to sit and like go over Mavra Sedra, Beseder says 100 people and the kids are playing and throwing a ball over your head. So you can Mavra Sedra, Beseder. You want to do Migras. But Eon, you need to focus. And to focus, you need some quiet time. Maybe if you go to the base Medrash and everyone else is learning, that's okay. But in the sukkah with the whole family around, so it's hard to focus on Eon when there's a lot of people around. So he says, too many people. He says you need bedidus. Right? You need to get away from the hustle and bustle of the people. No, I think one is that you need a bigger space, and the other is that you need peace and quiet.
You said you need leishev bishu v'das.
Read on.
No, before.
Bedidus. But no, the question is, what's the chisorin of yishev v'das? Is the problem of yishev v'das because you don't have space, or is the problem yishev v'das because there are too many people making noise and distracting you? I think those are two different problems of Yeshiva Das. I don't know that each one of them would deny the other ones. They're just focusing on different points. Okay. And the Rebbeinu Hananel, it's going to be hard to say the opposite. What do you say? Migros is the outside of the Sukkah, when it started to do Girsa in the Sukkah, it doesn't seem so hard. So rather, Rebbeinu Hananel takes an entirely different approach. What's his approach?
You need Keva first.
Exactly. He says, Eon is Keva. Migros is a Rai. And just like Achili, you have to do Keva in the Sukkah. You don't have to do a Rai in the Sukkah. So too for learning. There's your Keva learning and your Arai learning. And your Keva learning has to be in the Sukkah, just like your Keva eating. Eating is your physical food, physical nourishment. Learning is your spiritual nourishment. The Keva needs to be in the Sukkah, but the Arai can be outside the Sukkah. And apparently the Migras of Gemara is just Arai. That's not the Ikar of Gemara. Interestingly, the Migras of Mikra and Mishnah is Keva. After all, you have to learn a third of your time, whatever that means, Gemara says, Mikra, and Mikra, the Iker, is to be Goris the Mikra. You have to learn Mishnah, and Mishnah, the Iker, is to be Goris the Mishnah. But in Gemara, the Iker is not to be Goris the Gemara. In Gemara, the Iker is the Eon. The Girsa is just a side point and something that's helpful for the Eon, and therefore he's making an interesting assumption here about Talmud Torah, Rebbeinu Hananel. He says, when it comes to Gemara, the Keva, the main way of learning Gemara is Eon. Then there's also a little Girsa here and there. But since that little Girsa is not the main part of what you're doing, that's only called Arai. And Arai doesn't have to be in the Sukkah. The Ritva actually says something a little radical. The Ritva, if you notice how he quotes Rashi Shita, or Rambam Shita, or whoever Shita, the Ritva quotes it in a funny way. Sorry, let me just open to what we need next. The Ritva says, which I'm not sure what to make of, because the Ritva in the end says, we're machber both ways on this machlokas between the Rach and Rashi. The Ritva says, he says Rebbeinu Hananel is just, he quotes the way Rebbeinu Hananel said it, right, Keva, but the other sheet he quotes not the way Rashi says it. Maybe it's someone else who said it that way. I have no idea. He says, no. This day will hold that Migras is Keva and Eon is Arai. So he said, they're both based on Keva Arai. They're just arguing what part of learning Gemara is Keva, what part of learning Gemara is Arai. For the Ritva, the Machlokas here is a Machlokas about Talmud Torah. We both agree that Keva part of Gemara and Arai part of Gemara. Just what's the Kvias of Gemara and what's the Arai of Gemara? For Rebbeinu Hananel, the Kvias of Gemara is to be Ma'ayan, to think about things deeply. And the Arai is just to memorize some statements, while the Ritva apparently thinks that. The other opinion holds that Kvias is to memorize all the statements, just the Arai to think about it deeply. Okay, however, you should just notice that there are many, many Rishonim who hold that other Tzad, and none of them actually say what the Ritva quotes them as saying, right? The Rush doesn't say it, and the Rambam doesn't say it, and Rashi doesn't say it, and Tosaf doesn't say it. It seems like this Ritva has no actual other Rishonim backing him up, and for the simple reason that that's probably just not true. It's not true that the Arai, the Kvias of Gemara is Girsa and the Arai is Eon. The Iker of the whole idea of Gemara is Eon, and that's the Iker of Talmud Torah. So, this seems to be a Shitas Yachid.
But he gets it from the story. Doesn't he get it? He gets it from Rami Brachama, that the Iker was...
Weird thing, it says first they would do Girsa and then they would do Eon. It doesn't say how much they would do of each or how they would do each. Anyway, this is Shitas Yachid of the Ritva, who flips the Iker and the Kevan Arai. That does not seem to be Pshat and Talmud Torah. Seems to be Pshat and Talmud Torah is like the Rach, that the Eon is more Keva than the Girsa. Just the Machlokas is, what's the base of our Gemara? Is it talking about what's the bigger part of Talmud Torah? Or is it just talking about what's convenient and what's inconvenient? But really no one, except for this one Yesh Omer in the Ritva, who is not even, he's just describing someone else's Shita, and no one actually says that Shita, thinks that Girsa is the Keva and Eon is the Arai. Okay, so it's an interesting sheet to see what the Ritva alleges, what the Ritva alleges that other Tzad would hold, but it's not mainstream Judaism. Mainstream Judaism is either we go by Kevin Arai and that Eon is clearly Keva, or we go by Tzar, convenient and inconvenient, and Eon is more inconvenient and Girsa is more convenient. Okay, halacha lemaisa, some of the Rishonim are machmir both ways, but in the end the poskim say, look, They go with Rashi and they say, if it's hard for you, then you should leave the Sukkah. If you're not learning well, you should leave the Sukkah and learn someplace else, more like Rashi. One of the interesting things that comes up here, this I put on the next Makor sheet, is something that just bothered me, so I looked into a little. In this brisa, what does it say? It says, eat and drink, and teal and shinun. And not only that, like, we're very serious about this. Like, shinun is really in the sukkah. Like, we have to clarify, like, which shinun is in the sukkah and which shinun you're allowed to do outside the sukkah. You need, like, a p'tur mitzta'er, according to Rashi, to permit you to learn outside the sukkah, right? Just like you need a p'tur mitzta'er to permit you to eat and sleep outside the sukkah. So it seems from here like there is a chiyuv gomor to do teal and shinun in the sukkah, and just like you have to eat and sleep in the sukkah, and you're not allowed to eat and sleep outside the sukkah, you would think you're not allowed to be metayel and be mishanin outside the sukkah. Okay, obviously, there's a heter of holchei dracha, and there's a heter of you would leave your house to do this, and there's a heter of mitzta'er, right? No one's saying that you're never allowed to leave the sukkah, but clearly, if, like, you know, you would go to the basketball court and play basketball, which, if you do have me in mind, if you go to the basketball court and play basketball, you would leave your house to go to the basketball court. You wouldn't play basketball in the house. That's for my kids. So you could leave your sukkah and play basketball. But what about the fact that you see lots of people nowadays, they're very, very makbid to eat in the sukkah. Many people even makbid to sleep in the sukkah. But they don't learn in the sukkah even when they could sometimes. And teal, you know, they don't play their games in the sukkah and they don't talk to their friends in the sukkah. The Rama, I didn't bring it down to the dark. Moshe says, if you want to talk to your friend, talk in the sukkah. If you want to be masachik, which means playing like cards or dice or whatever they used to do in his days, you should do it in the sukkah. Even though it's not very Muslimic to do it at all. But you should do it in the sukkah. But many people nowadays are only makbid on eating and sleeping, but the Brisker says you're metayel mishanim b'sukkah. So the question is, what's the nature? Is it a chiyuv gomor that teal and shinun has to be in the sukkah? And that it's usher to do outside the sukkah? It's a bitl asay of yeshiva sukkah? It's an aveira d'oraisa to do it outside the sukkah? Or no, maybe it's just like an extra mitzvah to do it in the sukkah. So the pashup shot in our Gemara is, if Rashi says you're allowed to learn Eon outside the sukkah because of mitzta'er, what does that mean? That normally you're not allowed to learn outside the sukkah unless you have an official term mitzta'er. You need a heter to learn outside the sukkah. L'chor, if you need a heter to learn outside the sukkah, you need a heter to tile outside the sukkah too. That's pashup shot. Pashup shot is that if someone, again, sometimes there's a heter. If they're going on a trip, that's a heter, hochei drachim. You know, if they're going to the basketball court, so that's a heter, because you can't play, and you don't play in a house, you play in a basketball court. But if they're playing, what do they play nowadays? Settlers of Catan, do they still play this? They're playing Settlers of Catan with their friends, and they do it in the house instead of the sukkah, so that's an Isser D'Oraisa, because they're not being metayel in the sukkah. That's what it seems like. So is that true or not? From Rashi, Rashi's talking about Shinon. But Rashi sounds like there's mamash and iser of shinun outside the sukkah. You need a heter mitzta'er. And we have many rishonim, I put on the makoros here, that say that it's usher to do any of these things outside the sukkah. Rav Sadyugon, the sitter of Sadyugon, sorry, that was not on the Bar Ilan or anything, but I just typed it in. I have it at home. I looked it up. I typed in exactly what it said in my sitter of Sadyugon. V'chayav in lech, Rav Sadyugon didn't write this. Rav Sadyugon wrote it in Arabic. This is the targum of whoever, you know, published the Siddur of Sadyugon. Don't worry, the prayers were in Hebrew, not Siddur of Sadyugon. The instructions were in Arabic. The halachas were in Arabic, like Art Scroll. Prayers in Hebrew, instructions, and halachas in Arabic. So Rav Sadyugon wrote, V'chayav en lecho v'lishtos v'likro v'lilmo v'lishon basukka, enos in shum dovar me'eila michutzula. You're not allowed to do it outside. Here he had limud, said you're not allowed to do it. It's mamash and aveira to learn outside your sukkah. Again, I don't mean if you're waiting for a bus, it's an aveira to learn outside your sukkah, like you shouldn't take out a mishnayis. No, that's holchei drachim, that takes you to the door. I mean, if you're sitting in a house, it's usher to sit and learn in your house if you could learn in your sukkah without tsar. The balamor in psachim, that we had already seen this in the context of achilas matzah and yeshiva sukkah, he says, how come we only make a bracha on matzah the first day, but we make a bracha all sukkah all 7 days? So his main point was, because matzah, you only have to eat the first day. The rest of the time, you can eat fruit. But sukkah, you don't have to eat in the sukkah all 7 days because you could just eat fruit. But you have to sleep in the sukkah all 7 days because you can't go 3 days without sleeping. It's a principle of physiology. But he adds, if you look at his lashon, v'chayev lishon b'sukkah u'letayel ba. You need to be sleep and metayel in the sukkah. What's the contrast? You don't need to eat in the sukkah, right? There's a heter to eat outside the sukkah if you eat fruit. But what's, he's not just saying, like, it's nice, it's cute, it's like a kiyum mitzvah a mufkar to be tile in the sukkah. He's saying the chiyuv of teal in the sukkah is stronger than the chiyuv of achila b'sukkah. Because achila b'sukkah, there's a heter, you can only eat fruits. But teal, nope, there's no heter to do teal outside the sukkah. So he seems very clear. There's an absolute need to do teal in the sukkah with no heter to do it outside the sukkah, just like sleeping. And likewise, the Me'iri, by us, and Dafchav Zayin and Aleph, who's asking the same question.
But to be fair, it's the same tour from achila outside the sukkah also. Because achila sarai is putter because it falls into kain tadur, and the same thing for being with tile host the sukkah.
And the Baal HaMor doesn't think so.
Why?
I don't know. Why does the Baal HaMor not think? You could just do teal arai outside the sukkah. Apparently the Baal HaMor thinks that teal means, apparently the Baal HaMor thinks that teal doesn't mean like a specific activity. Teal just means sitting around. He says like, eventually you have to sit around for a while, right? You're never going to sit around and relax. So you're a Musternik. You're saying, of course you're not considering it. When you go to work, you have to go to work in the field. And when you're eating, you're eating. When you're learning, you're learning. Who sits around to relax except Arai for, you know, 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there. So it's a good kasha, the Baal HaMor from Musser. But the answer might be that he was talking about most people. And most people have some teal. I don't know. Okay, bring it up with the Baal HaMor. It's a good kasha. I don't want to be a Achri and Machlokas of Musser. But the Me'iri asks the same question. And when the Me'iri asks the same question, he says, how can we make a bracha on sukkah all 7 days? And again, if I were these Rishonim, I could have just said, you don't make a bracha on matzah all 7 days, because you don't have to eat matzah all 7 days. Eat fruit. Just don't eat chametz. But you have to make a bracha on sukkah all 7 days, because you got to sleep. You have no choice but to sleep. But unnecessarily, the Baal HaMor adds, you have to sleep and do teal. And likewise, the Me'iri in that same place says, if I can just find the place... where is this Me'iri? Oh. Here it is. E'ef shelo below yeshiva v'sheina v'chiyuva m'soka. You can go without eating for 7 days. Not without eating. You can go without eating mezonos for 7 days. But you can't go without sitting and sleeping for 7 days. Meaning he thinks that eating, you don't have to do in the sukkah. You can figure out a way. But sleeping is an absolute obligation. That I'm on board with. Of course, you got to sleep. And yeshiva. Yeshiva is an absolute obligation more so than achila. Okay, if yeshiva, what does yeshiva mean? L'chor yeshiva means just sitting around.
Yeshiva really means normally we take it to mean achila.
No, but his whole point is you can do without achila, but you can't do without yeshiva v'shena. Right, that's his contrast. Achila, you cannot eat for 7 days. How? By only eating fruits.
But he doesn't say yoga.
What? Look, yeah.
It,
yeah, no, you have to go back. He says, go to the beginning. He says, his kasha was that matza in ba'ela achila, v'ein chuyiv achilasa elai l'rishona, v'efshol b'var mecher, v'vosoka mitzvasa af b'yishiva v'sheina, v'arilin elu chayiva hem kol shiva. It's not only achila, it's also yeshiva v'sheina. And achila you might not be chayiv all 7 days, but yeshiva v'sheina, you're chayiv. So yeshiva is an absolute chiyuv, meaning for the Me'iri, yeshiva is an absolute chiyuv. For the Baal HaMor, teal is an absolute chiyuv. For Rashi and the Rav Sadigon, shinon is an absolute chiyuv, and we just see this in Rabbeinu Manoach twice. And the Frankel Rama is on the Rama, but if someone who doesn't have Frankel Rama, I put it on the sheet, yes?
But yeshiva, remember, there's yontif in the middle, but there is a chiyuv of achila. And that of normal achila,
no.
That has to be in the sukkah.
No, but Tosos sort of asked that kasha, why don't the chacham admit that you're chayuv more meals, 4 meals, because of yontif? And Tosos says, because on yontif you might be able to eat only peiros, etc.
Yeah, you can only eat later on, we say, all right, eating peiros, but since it's yontif,
no, if you do, okay. But
why can't you just say you can't walk for 7 days without sitting down? So the same way that you have to be sleeping or
Amida.
Okay, so if yeshiva means sitting down, right, because it's hard for you to imagine they thought it was usher to sit down in your house for a second. I assume by yeshiva he means to relax. And you have to rest at some point. Besides sleeping, you have to just sit at some point. Or maybe he just means by yeshiva, he just means, again, I don't think like mamish if I go like this. That's what he means by yeshiva.
He does give it special, like, it's something miyuchad for the meaning, because it goes like the
so
Rambam.
Maybe by yeshiva he means just like sitting around doing whatever you're doing. And he thinks that that also requires a sukkah. You know, that's what chal tzedatiyol, even if you're not learning. Let's say you're doing something else. You're reading a math book. You are, you know, answering your emails, your whatever you're doing. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's mean by yeshiva, not just relaxing, not chilling. But that requires sukkah. So here we have the pashut pshat. Pashut pshat, and that's not actually Hebrew, is that it's an absolute chiyuv and asur chutz l'sukkah. Right? Again, asur chutz l'sukkah, if you're not holchi drachim, if you're not teaching it to do, you know, to just stop doing it in your house, stop. Right? And this is very clear. When it comes to Shinoi, very clear in Rashi and Rav Sajigon, because Rashi needs to bring in Mitztayer, which proves that there's a real Isser B'davar, and Rav Sajigon says explicitly Usser. When it comes to Teal, Yeshiva, if you'll allow me to put them together, that's very clear in the Baal Amor and in the Meiri. And Rabbeinu Noach is super duper clear about this, right? Rabbeinu Noach, he says, in Halacha Tess, he says very explicitly about learning. He says, "Came in the Mikri Misni by Sukkah by Bruch Aleshi Basukkah." But then he adds, "Yeah, Chovah Kol Adam Shemashlim Parshios Achagim Atzibur Beveso Kodem Shielch Beisakneses Shetzorech Likros Zom Toch Sukkah." It's a chiyuv that if you do Mavr Sedra in your Sukkah, you must in your house you must go to the Sukkah to do it. It's a chiyuv, absolute chiyuv, to learn in the Sukkah. Right, so here, Rabbi Noach is very clear. He says, you're not allowed to do Mavr Sedra in your house. That's Mikra. Mikra needs Sukkah. You must go to your Sukkah. Obviously not if it's raining or something. And obviously not if you're waiting for a bus and chopping some Mavr Sedra in your, you know, on your phone. But if you're actually sitting down and learning, then it's a chiyuv. And likewise, Rabbi Noach, when he talks about the bracha in Halacha Zayin, says that even though we compare Sukkahs to Pesach, Le'in Achila Shavim, they have an equal chiyuv of eating, meaning you're not chayiv to eat bread or mazonos all 7 days. While you take your sukkah shchayiv the mikro the misno the tail basukkah shemhachi takinu rabbanu the bracha b'hai lishna leishah basukkah etc. What does he say? He says, why do we make a bracha on sukkah all 7 days? Because tak, you're not chayiv to eat all 7 days. There's something which is much more chayiv than eating. Eating is not an absolute chiyuv. You don't have to eat all 7 days. You can eat fruit, but teal and mikra and misna, teal and learning, are an absolute chiyuv all 7 days, and there's no way out of it. Again, it's striking. You know, what does he mean? Like, just because you can go with eating fruits, maybe you just be mevatel Torah and not learn. Okay, that's not so practical. Maybe you just never be mevatel. So you have to figure out what he means by that. But he's very clear that he says both teal and shinon are a bigger chiyuv than achila. Because achila, there's a way out of the chiyuv. There's like a heter of achila of doing arayin. There's no heter for teal v'shinon. Okay, so this is very clear. And that's what a lot of achronim write. I didn't bring them all here. As a matter of fact, I didn't bring any of them here. A lot of our chonim write that anything you do that's just part of like a regular lifestyle, whether it's checking your email, whether it's reading a book, certainly if it's learning Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, Umigras, which is explicit in the Gemara, whether you're playing cards with your friends, whether you are just entertaining and talking to your friends, if there's no tzar, then you have to do it in the sukkah. And if you do it in the house, it's an isr d'oraisa, a bitul asay of basukah stesh v'shivas yamin. That is the mainstream halachic opinion in the Achronim.
Isn't there some sort of opinion, the same way you don't have to put, they don't wish about the cave, that you do put in, when you don't put in. Also, there are things that you might do that are mutter, but you wouldn't necessarily find them the most mechubadim to do in the sukkah.
So there's a big discussion, a severe discussion, should you say Lashon Hara in the sukkah or not? Right? Let's say your lifestyle to get together with your friends and talk Lashon Hara. Right? That is, obviously, it's a very rare theoretical question. We don't actually know anyone like that. Although, this, right, I don't say Lashon Hara, but I'll tell you who does. The big discussion in the Mishnah Berurah is should you say Lashon Hara in the sukkah or not? And I don't have the deal question in the Mishnah Berurah on the tip of my tongue, but he basically, like, he doesn't want to say you should say Lashon Hara in the house, because, like, that's your yeshiva v'til. He doesn't want to say you should say Lashon Hara in the sukkah, because the sukkah is a makam of kedusha, which is not roi for Lashon Hara. So the Mishnah Berurah says, preferably, you should just not say Lashon Hara when your friends go over on sukkahs. But forget about Lashon Hara. How about Mischa? Playing dice cards? What do they play in the time of their mind? I'm pretty sure they played both.
If you have a baby, changing the diapers in the sukkah.
Okay, I'm not getting onto that, because that is mamish amios. But what about playing cards? Just something that's like not so moral, right? Or for Jews. Like Lashon Hara. Really for anyone. It's not some moral sailor story, is it? Or, like, what about playing cards? Playing cards is not like a Ventura kind of thing to do. It's not like a Kedusha thing to do. Right? If you saw someone playing cards in the Beis HaMikdash, right, you would be, like, justified in, I don't know, being kind of a pogumbo or something. But the should you play cards in the sukkah? And the Rama writes in the Darkei Moshe, you should play cards in the sukkah. Or dice, or he just says play. They also had dice, cards, dreidels. They had all kinds of games in his days. So I don't know which ones he was referring to. But so apparently even things which are not such yeshivish things to do, you're supposed to do in the sukkah.
Listen to the radio. Listen to the radio.
So you're supposed to do it in the sukkah. Avada. Yeah, avada in the sukkah. So that's the pashat pshat. The pashat pshat is that you should do all of your regular lifestyle activities in the sukkah. Now, it doesn't mean you should go to the bathroom in sukkah, besides the fact that it's not mechubad, but by regular lifestyle activities, it means things you do in your regular rooms of your house. You don't have to cook in the sukkah. And it doesn't mean you don't have to take a shower in the sukkah. That's clear. That's not teishu kein taduru. That's not part of your, that's not, but things you do, eating and sleeping and hanging out and working, etc., apparently those things should be done in the sukkah.
And that'd be a kiyum mitzvah if I did that?
Avad, it's a kiyum mitzvah.
So then what's the pilpul within the...
But it's more than a kiyum mitzvah.
Then for the Lashon Hara, it's a mitzvah b'aveira.
Okay, fine. So that's why I said don't say Lashon Hara.
So why would you have a mitzvah without a bracha? Because no one says they should make a bracha.
Great question. Why don't you make a bracha on these things? Chaim lies to us and says no one says you make a bracha on these things. So that's a great question. So
may not know it.
Why don't we make a bracha on these things? So there are two answers. One answer is that the Rambam says you make a bracha every time you enter the sukkah, no matter what you're doing in the sukkah. The second answer is that the Me'iri says you don't make a bracha every time you enter the sukkah, but every time you enter the sukkah, do something you have to do in the sukkah, like Shinon, you make a bracha. Right, so he would say, he talks about Shinon, I assume the same would be for Teal. He'd say, for Shinon and Teal, you make a bracha. Not if you stam go in to, I don't know, to pick up a candy wrapper. Not if you stam, you know, go in to, you know, to tighten a screw. But if you actually go in to do something, mention this bracha, so you would make a bracha. The Rambam says if you go in for any yeshiva, you make a bracha. Which probably also, what does it mean, yeshiva? Something this bracha. So the Rambam, the Me'iri, and many others say every time you go in to do something significant in the sukkah, you do make a bracha. Number two, the Rush quotes in Perek Dalet, that's in the brackets, quotes, I think Rabbeinu Tam is saying the Rush quotes a Deah, that says, really, you should make a bracha every time you go into the sukkah, but it's potter with the bracha on achila.
Right.
And therefore, Paskin's Mishnah Brura, right, from the Chai Adam, that if you're not eating, then you should make a bracha on just going into the sukkah. It's just if you're also eating, then it's potter. So maybe you do have to make a bracha on all these things. There is also a shita that b'ikaron you don't make a bracha on these things. But the mainstream, the Mishnah Berurah Paskin, of course you make a bracha on everything. The reason we make a bracha when we eat is because you don't have to make a bracha a million times, so you make a bracha on one thing and potter everything else. Right? Of course you have to make a bracha on every cookie. But you make a bracha on one cookie and potter the other cookies. What do you make a bracha on? The best cookie. So the best cookie. Exactly. Okay, so the answer is now. However, there is another opinion. There is another opinion, which is, it's a little obscure, but if you find this Sefer Yashar Rabbeinu Tam, which is really talking about Shal Shudis, you might have noticed in some of the parallel Tosfosim in the discussion of Mini Targima, the whole question could be Yotzi Shal Shudis with Mini Targima. Forget about whether you need to be Yotzi at all. Could you be Yotzi Shal Shudis with Mini Targima? Right? Big debate, you know, at Hayom Hazeh, right? If you have to eat bread for Shal Shudis or not. So Mishnah Berurah says, and the minig of the Yeshivish people, I think, is we makbid, have bread for Shal Shudis. And that's clearly your Yotzei all the deos, and that's the ideal thing to do. However, there are those who are so mechon the Shitas Yachid of Rabbeinu Tam, which Artosis rejects. I don't think he even quotes by name. Just says, don't think of Yotzei Shal Shudas with Mina Targima, because it says it's learned from the man, and the man is like bread. Okay, but Rabbeinu Tam really has a Shita that your Yotzei Shal Shudas Mina Targima. It's quoted by Tosa a few places in Shas, and it's in the Sefer Yashar, Simon Ayin. And as a side point of his discussion with Shal Shudis, he says, Avagav de Pirlo Boy Sukkah, Sudal Hashmidal Shudis. He says, how do I know that Peros really counts? He says, even Peros. He says, even though you don't need to eat them in the Sukkah, they count to be Mashlim the 14 Sudas of Rabbi Eliezer. So we see that they do count as a Suda. Even non bread counts as a Suda, you can be Mashlim, Minitagima. And he says, Lo Gorim Yutayel B'Sukkah. You know what?
You know why they count? Because they're no less than teal with sukkah. The teal low boy sukkah. You don't need to do teal in the sukkah. We call it a mitzvah, but it's still a mitzvah to do teal in the sukkah. You don't need to, but it's still a mitzvah. Hachanami, I forgot the teal low boy sukkah. We call it a mitzvah ka'avid. Likewise, for snacks, fruits in the mini targum in the sukkah, even though you're not required, according to Rina Tam, it's still a mitzvah. What does Rina Tam say? Fruits in the sukkah? It's still a mitzvah even though it's not required, just like teal is still a mitzvah even though it's not required. Teal lo ba'i sukkah. And then in the end, he comes up with an interesting conclusion. He says, and as far as being yotzei shel shittos mini targima, he says, well, look back to our Gemara. It sounds like you need bread, but you can be mashlin b'mini targima. So too for shel shittos. The mitzvah is that bread for shel shittos. But if you don't have bread and you have mini targima instead, you're yotzei, because it's like being mashlin. Even though it's at the same time, you know, he apparently thinks like it's okay. If you don't have bread, you're yotzei, although l'chachila you're supposed to have bread. Okay, but that's not our topic now. Rabbi Tam is very clear. He compares teal to peros. Achilas arai. Compares teal. We all know the din of peros. Peros, you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah. There's no chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, but it's a big mitzvah. Remember how Machbed, Rami Gamliel, and Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai were on this. It's obviously a big mitzvah to eat peros in the sukkah. It's just not an absolute obligation. So he says the same thing for teal. It's not an obligation to teal in the sukkah, it's just a mitzvah. Apparently, the way he reads our brisa is, the way he would read our brisa is, metayil b'sukkah. Not that it's an absolute chiv to be metayil in the sukkah, and if you're metayil in your house, it's an isser. No, it's a mitzvah to be metayil in the sukkah. The absolute chiv is only eating and sleeping, because we know there's a sukkah of achilas keva asr outside the sukkah, and shena asr outside the sukkah. Rabbeinu Tam clearly has a different opinion, says Rabbeinu Tam. He says that no. It's a mitzvah, but not a chiyuv, meaning it's mutter chutz l'sukkah. What do I mean? I don't mean like lungdish, like mitzvah, chiyuv. I mean very practical. Can you do it outside? If you do it outside the sukkah, is it a favor or not? Right? So he apparently thinks it's okay, and we see that one of his Talmidim also thought so, in the Tosfos from Yehuda Chassid. I know to find this sheet in Rishonim, at least at first, I have to go to an obscure Makoros, like Shut Sefer Yasher, not an obscure person. An obscure makor, and the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, which is not written, by the way, by the person known as Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. You know, sometimes things get nicknamed. There's a Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, right? Sefer Chassidim, maybe we've heard of. Nothing to do with Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Why do they call it Chassid? Nobody knows. It's just that, you know, hundreds of years ago, when someone found a manuscript, they just gave it flowery names. It's actually the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Sirlion, or the answer is because he was also a pious person, you know, and maybe he didn't know that someday they would be a more famous Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and everyone would think that he's the guy who wrote that Tosfos. No, so, I mean, I'm sure Rabbi Yehuda Sirlion is a bigger Chassid than all of us put together. No doubt. So, the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Sirlion, who was one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam, we see, he's writing about, the main topic is whether to make Birkas HaTorah every time you learn or once in the morning is good enough. And Agav, they get into the topic of whether to make a bracha on sukkah every time you come in and out or once in the morning is good enough. And basically, the sheet of Tosfos of Rabbeinu Tam is very clear. Birkas HaTorah once in the morning is enough, but sukkah, every time you eat, you make a new bracha. But Agav, they get into the question of every time you eat, like on what things in the sukkah do you make a bracha? Eat, sleep, etc. We saw this Tosfos when it came to the relationship between eating and sleeping. We mentioned this earlier. But if you look at this, Rabbi Yehuda Sirlion, he says, Parsha Alti Rabbeinu Tam Nu Chosu Kovet. I asked Rabbeinu Tam. It wasn't this Shutzei for Yasha, that was someone else asking him. And Birkas HaSukkah. And also, in the Shutzei for Yasha, he wasn't asking about Sukkah, so he was asking about Shutzei, it was just a tangent. In Turk Levarash and Nicholas Lishinba, you have to make a bracha on sleeping. That was a big machlok, 2 days in Tosos. Tos and Brachos, in Sukkah, Dafim Hei thinks you make a bracha when you sleep. Tos and Brachos thinks you don't, so it was apparently a live issue. So he asked me in a time, do you make a bracha on sleeping or not? He said, Mechashiv, Kein Turk Levarash, Shemel Yuchal Lishon, maybe you shouldn't make a bracha, what if you don't fall asleep? If you're not already falling asleep, then it's a suffix bracha levatala. And if you're already falling asleep, it's too late to make a bracha. You're falling asleep. That's why we don't make a bracha. Meshivani, he says, okay, and all the things you do, the eating is the ikker, and it potters everything else, etc. But just after the ellipsis, I didn't even ask Rabbeinu Tam why we don't make a bracha on teal and shinan. I only asked him about sleeping. Why? Ki imal hashena. I only ask about shena. Lishu b'shena, but tishu also lishu kotz sukkah shena is right because it's an absolute obligation to sleep in the sukkah. It's also to sleep outside the sukkah, even a raya. We are yosem achila. Shachila sorayim teres kotz sukkah. But came the rachin al achila kolshkin al shena. I don't care. Tam lachalik. That was. It's also to eat outside the sukkah. Keva is even more also to sleep outside the sukkah, even a raya. So that was a kolshkin. Why don't we make a bracha on shena unless you give me a good reason? Aval teal v'shena lomatzino eser chutz l'sukkah. But teal and shena, and obviously it's a mitzvah. It's a mafurish brisa. But there's no answer to do teal and shenan outside the sukkah. So apparently a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam also thought on his own when he asked Rabbeinu Tam the Shaila, he didn't say, why don't we make a bracha on teal and shenan? I know that's not the ikar chiyuv. Because like, you're allowed to do that outside the sukkah too. So we have not just Rabbeinu Tam, but Rabbeinu Tam and the Re Sir Leon, who both hold that there's no issur of teal and shenan outside the sukkah. Everything mentioned in this brisa is not an absolute obligation, it's just a mitzvah. It's obviously not neutral. Why would it be in the brisa? It's a mitzvah say. It's a kiyum mitzvah say to do teal and shinon in the sukkah. Meaning, it's not a kiyum mitzvah say to do everything in the sukkah, apparently. Right? There are some things that maybe it's not a mitzvah say to do in the sukkah. I don't take a bath in the sukkah. It's not a mitzvah say. You know, forget about whether it's not with kovetik or something. It's not a mitzvah say because that's not really part of dira. That's part of bathing is not part of dira. Teal and shinon are part of dira, so it's a mitzvah say. But it's not an obligation like eating and sleeping. So here we see a big chiddush. Even though the brisa puts everything together, and of course, during the time of the research early on would say, how about the kelim noin matzos nos? You really think any of us, we don't bring our nice kelim to the sukkah, are doing an aveira? No, it's a mitzvah to bring nice kelim to the sukkah, and we try to do it if we can, etc. It's not an aveira to leave your nice kelim in the house. It's not an aveira to leave your best tablecloth in the house, or your nicest quilt in the house. You know, this is just, it's a mitzvah, it's an extra key of mitzvah. If you want to do more than most mitzvahs, you can. But it's not an absolute obligation.
If you say that the reason that we don't make a bracha is because we're somewhat on the bracha of Akhila, and Akhila's eros, according to this, would be to get there, not a chiyuv, but a mitzvah. So then if you're not eating pas, should you make a leishei pasuka on the eros?
That is an excellent question. If you're not eating pas, you make a leishev on the peros. The Mishnah Brura actually thinks, interestingly, he thinks, not based on Rabbeinu Tam, meaning this would come out interesting, based on Rabbeinu Tam, they seem to be pretty equal. As a matter of fact, Rabbeinu Tam says they're equal, right? But based on the Me'iri and the Balamor, the Me'iri says explicitly, there's more of a chiyav of teal than of achilas arai. Because achilas arai is not like what your real living people do. They really eat bekeva. But teal is what real people do when they live. So it could be that teal and shinun are an absolute chiyuv according to the Meiri and the Balamor. Achilas arai is not. And therefore, you can only make a bracha on teal and shinun, not achilas arai. And that's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah actually says you should never make a bracha on achilas arai unless you're also going to sit and relax and hang out there for a bit. Because, why? Interestingly, not because of Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, they're equal. You know, you're doing an optional thing. You're doing a nice thing. Apparently, he's choshesh that, no. A nice thing, you can't make a bracha, only an obligatory thing. And according to the Balamor, the Me'iri, they say mefurish. The Me'iri is mefurish, he says. And you're not chayiv to make a bracha on achilas arai. And I'm not even sure if you're allowed to make a bracha on achilas arai, but you for sure make a bracha on teal.
Are you saying if you built a sukkah kitchen, a beautiful kitchen, that you would not, there would be no kiyum of the mitzvah in cooking in that kitchen?
Not only would there be no kiyum, it might actually detract from the mitzvah. We'll get to that. Yes, that is what I'm saying. I'm saying that that's best case scenario. That maybe it would actually possle eating in that kitchen.
Doesn't the Mishra, one of the posts, say that if that's in that situation, you should try and make sure you're having Mizonos, the culture from the
subject? The Mishnah Berurah says, in some cases he says, and in other cases he says, yeah, he says both. He says, maybe because some people say not to do it first time sitting, you should have mazonos. And then he says, like, if you're having a questionable mazonos, maybe because some people say that doesn't count, you should also sit. So he puts them both together. Okay. Now.
Interesting that Taimanim today, halacha lamaise, when they, those who are matbi, whenever they walk into the sukkah, they immediately make the bracha.
Oh, that's the Rama. Yeah, that's the Rama.
The Rama, Allah Chalamayv said,
yeah.
And those who are matbi,
Kedarkam Bakodesh.
According to Rabbi Tam, then the Torah is not inspired. The Torah is Teshu Ken Kaduru. I mean,
correct, absolutely. Yes. Oh, so let me get back to that for a second. So, number one, Rabbi Tam's going to have a little bit of a problem here. Now, Rabbi Tam talked about teal. But the Rishon Leon talked about Shinuy also, right? That limud. Limud's not a chiyuv. If limud's not a chiyuv, then why do we need a heter to be ma'ayin outside the sukkah? You just do whatever you want, right? So the Gemara is going to be a little tricky. Meaning, if you're allowed to learn outside the sukkah anyway, what does this line mean? That's one kasha. My other kasha is not really kasha. It's just, can anyone be find another Rishon they would put on being a Tam side if you read him carefully? Which Rishon is always most worth reading carefully? The Rambam, right? The Rambam is striking. We mentioned this Rambam in a totally different angle once. But let me read you the Rambam, and you tell me if it's weird or not. Keitani mitzvahs ha-yeshiva b'sukkah. Don't sound familiar. How is the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah? She ochel v'shos v'dar b'sukkah kol shivas yam v'yam v'layla k'derosh v'dar v'yis v'shayim v'shashana. Kol shivas yam osa adams deis v'aray v'esukas v'kava sh'nem v'sukkas teish v'shivas yam. Keitad keitan kelem ha-noim, etc. Right, he says, "Ochel shows up a dar besukkah gederech shudar beveisim b'shalim b'shoshana." That's where he quotes Teal. There's no other place of Teal. Later on, he mentions Shina. We'll get to it. But this is where he quotes Teal. It sounds okay. Then what do you say? Ochel v'shosin v'dar besukkah. Then what do you say in halacha vav? Ochel v'shosin v'shein in besukkah kol shiva bein b'yom v'v'layla. You have to eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah all 7 days bein b'yom v'v'layla. V'aser lechol besuda v'chutz besukkah kol shiva in kemal ochel chilas arai, etc. Bein yishein in chutz besukkah filo sheinas arai umutter, etc. Right, all the heterim of arai or non-heterim of arai. Why does the Rambam repeat himself? In halacha hey, he said, and I know we already asked and answered this question. We're going to give the same answer. He says, how's the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah? Ochel v'shos v'dar b'sukkah for 7 days. Then he repeats himself and says, you have to eat and drink and sleep in the sukkah 7 days, and it's usher to do it outside the sukkah, although eating depends how much, and sleeping doesn't depend how much. And even eating, it's, you know, better to do it in the sukkah. Why does the Rambam have to repeat himself twice? Why does the Rambam say Ochel v'shos v'dar? And he's clearly quoting our Braisa because he has Beso Arai and Sukkoso Keva and Kalim Nam and Tzos Nos. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam's quoting our Braisa. Then what's he doing in Halacha Vav? He's going back. That's Chav Chesem and Beis. In Halacha Vav, he's going back to Daf Chav Vav and Aleph and saying, what's the heter of Arai? Chutz v'sukkah, what's not a heter? What are you allowed to say? What are you not allowed to do outside the sukkah? But I understand. First, he's quoting the Braisa of Chav Chesem and Beis, and then he's quoting the Dina of the Gemara and Chav Vav and Aleph, based on the Mishnah of Ochan Achilas Arai Chutz v'sukkah, which on Daf Chav Hey. But why does the Rambam still have to repeat himself? It's not the Rambam's derech to repeat himself. Ochel v'shosin v'dar b'sukkah kol shiva. Ochlin v'shosin v'shein b'sukkah kol shiva. Now I understand. There he has ochel v'shosin v'dar, and here he has ochel v'shosin v'yashin b'sukkah kol shiva. But he's repeating ochel v'shosin in the sukkah kol shiva. Why does he have to do that? Why does he have to repeat himself? So, I mean, you could always say that the Rambam's not meduyik. Oh, why did the Rambam repeat himself? Because he just, I don't know, he just wasn't so careful with his formulations and he wasn't so good at writing clearly and, you know, lots of other things. If you want to thank them, then have a good life. And enjoy yourself. But clearly that's not shot in the Rambam. And you should know, by the way, that it's not just like, oh, like we have this like Mesorah that the Rambam wrote his book very, very meduyik and was very careful about his formulations. There's actually historical evidence for that, right? They found drafts of the Rambam, of a few pages of the Mishneh Torah, and they saw how he, like, went over and fixed up the order of the halachos and the exact formulations. Like, he clearly went over his book again and again to decide exactly what the order of things are and exactly what the right conceptual structure is and exactly how to formulate things. He didn't just, I mean, we knew this anyway, because we know who the Rambam is. But he didn't just, like, write offhand. So clearly it's strange that the Rambam repeats himself. What's pshat in the Rambam repeating himself? So I think that, really, you can daik in the Rambam that he agrees with the reign of time of the Rishon Leon. And now it's not such a shitas yachid anymore. And I'm not saying I'd be so mech on it personally, but, you know, it's a good lingua tzchus on all these people who are not makbid on teal and yeshiva in the sukkah. It's the reign of time of the Rishon Leon and the Rambam. Why? Because if you look at the Rambam, it's very clear. First says, what's the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? How to do this mitzvah? Ochel v'shos v'dar, and you make your beis arayim sukkos keva, and you bring your kelim namatzos nos to the sukkah, etc. That's about how to be mekayim the mitzvah properly. It doesn't say anything about being usher, right? It doesn't say anything about usher. You know, halacha hey is a mitzvah. Halacha vav is clearly oriented towards an isser. Ochel v'shos v'yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva bein b'yom bein b'layla, whether in day or night, meaning no exceptions, no free time, no recess. V'aser lechol sukkah, right? Meaning the Ochlin Veshoson Ochavav is because it's also to eat outside the sukkah, also to eat sleep outside the sukkah. Why does he only mention eating, drinking, and sleeping in Halacha Vav? Those are the only things that are usher outside the sukkah. Why does he mention everything on Halacha Hay? Because those are things that are mitzvah to do in the sukkah, but not an isser to do outside the sukkah. So I think the Rambam is also meduyik that way. Right? The diuk of the Rambam is that Halacha Hay equals our brisa is a mitzvah. Halacha Vav, which is only achila, shtia, vishena, is an isser. He doesn't have to repeat the mitzvah in Halacha Vav. We already know you eat and drink in the sukkah for 7 days. He said in Halacha Hey, we already know you sleep in the sukkah for 7 days, because he said dar in Halacha Hey. He didn't emphasize sleeping for reasons we discussed previously, but he obviously dar includes sleeping. Obviously, if you bring your matzos, you're going to sleep on them. But he only repeats things in Halacha Vav if they're an isser. So the Rambam, there's two levels of yeshiva sukkah. There is the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, and there is things that are absolute obligations that are also to do outside the sukkah. Why is that? So here, if you look in the Rav, in the Rishima Shiurim, he says, because there's tzvi dinim in the mitzvah of sukkah. There's two mitzvahs of sukkah. There's one general mitzvah to live in the sukkah, and living is very flexible. You know, what does it mean to live someplace? Everyone has their own way of living someplace. It's hard to say you're allowed to do this and not allowed to do that. And then there's a more specific mitzvah of doing necessary biological functions, you know, which are only eating and sleeping, right? Meaning learning is not a necessary biological function, and teal is not a necessary function, and bringing kalim normal so is not necessary. So there's one general din of living in the sukkah, which is not expressed in a particular maisa, and there's a second mitzvah of a maisa, and that maisa is only the most basic biological needs that we have, which are for eating and for sleeping. That's how the Rav learned it. It's tvei din in the mitzvah say of sukkah. A mitzvah say that's without a maisa of just being kovei yourself as living in the sukkah, and a mitzvah say of a maisa of achilas shtiyah v'shena. I thought it's possible you could say, you don't have to say tvei dinim, you could just say it's a mitzvah to kovei yourself in the sukkah, and the more you do, the better. Right? But there are some things that if you do them outside the sukkah, don't contradict your kiyas in the sukkah. They're just less of a kiyam, but they don't undermine it. If I play cards in the house, it doesn't undermine my living in the sukkah. However, there are some things that if you do them in the house, they undermine, they're revatal, they contradict your yeshiva sukkah. So it could be, for the Rav says two different mitzvahs, I say I'm not sure if I'm convinced there are tzvei dinim in the mitzvah. There might be one mitzvah. The mitzvah is to make sukkah so keva base or rai to be dar b'sukkah. However, Othman shows up dar b'sukkah. However, that's very flexible, and it's hard to say exactly where the lines are, and it's hard to pick any one thing and say, no, that contradicts and betrays what you're doing and knocks the whole house down, except for eating and sleeping are the only things which are so chashuv that not only are they part of the mitzvah, but if you do them outside the house, they nullify your mitzvah. Okay, but I think it's clear that the Rambam is going in that direction. Vav is what's absolutely obligated, and us are outside. Hey is just what's a mitzvah, and he's really the same as Rabbeinu Tam.
Maybe he's just talking about what's just commonly dealt with the Gemara, the easiest that's generally to be dealt with. Because in Halacha Tassus, when he mentions...
Give me a second. Okay. Now, let's... Yeah.
Is it not sure if the Rambam would still say you make a bracha before doing anything in the sukkah, even though it's not an absolute chiyuv?
Yeah, because the Rambam says there's a different machlokas, whether you only make a bracha on things that are absolute chiyuv or anything that's a chiyuv. So that... But that's not tali habaha. Okay, now I just want to point out one second, one Rambam halacha test, which is interesting. And tell me if you like this diuk in halacha test. Says the Rambam halacha test, kol shavas yam kori b'socha sukkah. You read in the sukkah. Ukshe meivin medakti masha yikra, meaning by read in the sukkah, I assume he means whether mikra or mishnah or even gemara, which by his days were all written. Ukshe meivin medakti masha yikra, but when you think deeply about what you learned, yavin chutz the sukkah, you should think deeply outside the sukkah, Kadesh Daitim Yeshevas Olav, so that your mind will be settled. He doesn't say if it's because of the space or because of the people. Okay, Hamispalel, Rotzim Ispalel B'Sukkah, Ochot Sukkah. Davening, if you want, you can daven in the Sukkah or out of the Sukkah. Totally neutral. Now here's what's interesting. The Rambam says, let me ask you the following diyuk and see if it comes together. Iyon Chotz L'Sukkah. Rashi says, Medayik and Rashi, follow my diuk here. Im Yirtza. Rashi says, years out, you're allowed to be ayin outside the sukkah. Does the Rambam also mean to say, if you want, you can be ayin outside the sukkah, make a diuk in the Rambam?
No, because he says tefillah.
No, because he says tefillah if you want here, if you want there. He didn't say eon if you want here, you want there, right? Obviously, it says, but the Rambam just say, eon outside the sukkah. Tefillah wherever you want. The diuk is very clear. There's not like a crazy diuk. If he meant eon was wherever you want, he would have just said eon and tefillah wherever you want. Tefillah is wherever you want. I mean, tefillah is mamash neutral. It makes no halachic difference to the Rambam, whether you'd have an inside or outside your sukkah. They're both spiritually equal. Or, perhaps, it's subjective, whatever's the better experience for you. However, clearly, by contrast, eon, it's not if you want you can do it outside the sukkah. Eon, you must do outside the sukkah. That's a clear diuk in the Rambam, because eon has to be different than tefillah. What did the Rambam say? He says, you should do it outside the sukkah. Now, I might have said that means you're allowed to. But then when he says davening is optional, so if davening is optional, then eon is apparently not optional, right? So for the Rambam, it seems pretty clear that for the Rambam, based on the contrast to tefillah, the Rambam says, not if you want to, a heter to in yirta. It's a heter to be inside the sukkah. Now, it's not a heter to be inside the sukkah. It is a commandment to be outside the sukkah. Now, obviously, I don't mean absolute commandment. It's not like we must learn Torah in place A, not place B. But rather, it's preferable, right? It's ideal. L'chachila, you should learn outside the sukkah. So the Rambam says, Sarech la'ayin chutz l'sukkah. Why would you actually have to be ayin outside the sukkah? Why shouldn't it be optional to do whatever you want? So why if we're medayek properly in the Rambam, he's saying it's better to be ayin outside the sukkah. Not that you're allowed to do whatever you want, because then it would be tefillah. Maybe because of the mitzvah's Talmud Torah. The Rambam is saying bittul Torah, right? It's a chiyuv to learn Torah well. Not to compromise your Talmud Torah. So therefore, maybe what the Rambam means is that mitzah Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah tells you it's not worth being in your sukkah. You should not go outside your sukkah to be ma'ayin. Obviously, if you're the average person that's being described. I think it's a valid diuk in the Rambam. If that's a valid diuk in the Rambam, then this answers the question we had on Rabbeinu Tam. What was the problem with Rabbeinu Tam? The question on Rabbeinu Tam and the Reis Elyon, or more specifically, the Reis Elyon, because he's the one who discussed the Limud, right? So the question on the Reis Elyon, and I'm going to assume the Rambam, is if Limud is mutter chutz l'sukkah, why do we need a heter for Iyun? Why do we need a heter for Iyun if in general it's optional? Why do you need a heter if it's always optional? So maybe the answer is the Rambam. If the Rambam really agrees with the Reis Elyon Rabbeinu Tam, then he should have the answer. The answer is the Diyuk HaRambam. You don't need a heter. Iyun is not a heter, but a preference to leave the sukkah. The Gemara wasn't saying you have a heter to be outside the sukkah. According to the Reis Elyon and Mike Shot in the Rambam, you have a heter to do anything outside the sukkah if you want, other than eating, drinking, and sleeping. You have a heter to do anything outside the sukkah. You don't need a heter for eating outside the sukkah. So then what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara is not a heter for eating outside the sukkah. The Gemara is telling you a preference for eating outside the sukkah. Don't compromise your Torah learning. Don't be mevatel Torah. Realize that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. And go be ma'ayin outside your sukkah. And even though you start bringing the Urim Kutin when you do Talmud Torah versus other mitzvahs, but since sukkah is teishvah kain taduru and just fitting with your lifestyle, so obviously Talmud Torah is better. So what I'm saying is the Rambam l'shitasei. The Rambam l'shitasei, who holds like the time of the Reis Elyon, if you agree with my diuk, that the only absolute obligations are eating and sleeping. Everything else is just a kiyum mitzvah in the sukkah, but is permitted outside the sukkah. Then has a problem. If everything else is permitted outside the sukkah, then why do you need a heter for Iyun? So he says, Tak, it's not a heter for Iyun. It's a preference for Iyun. You don't need a heter for Iyun. You're allowed to do anything outside the sukkah if you really want to. We're talking here about spiritual preferences. There are things that are spiritual acts, and we're wondering, is it better to do them outside the sukkah because you get more ruchnis that way? Or better do them inside the sukkah and you get more ruchnis that way? And then we told you, oh, you want our advice, what's preferable to have the best avodas Hashem and the best ruchnis? For tefillah, it's a toss-up. For Iyun, it's better outside the sukkah because you'll gain a lot of Talmud Torah. And for bikiyas, for kriya, it's better inside the sukkah because you won't lose anything from your kriya and you'll get a kiyum mitzvah of sukkah. So I think that the Rambam, it's not coincidence that if you're medayek the Rambam, he has two things different than, he has two differences from what the other Rishonim sound like. And the sugya, I think, is l'shitasa, and he holds a Rabbeinu Tam, in which case it's Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam who hold the Mekel Shita here, which is really a significant basis. Again, I think we should follow the Achronim and try to do everything in the sukkah that we can. I mean, reasonably, within taste, we can do it. I don't mean to go crazy. But to not just stomp, sit in the house and hang out when we could be sitting in the sukkah. But those who only feel an obligation for achilah shtiyah and shena, and say, it's not us to do anything else outside the sukkah, have Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam on their side, according to my diyukim. Okay. Yes.
I mean, the Torah, the same thing of Kelim Na'im is the same thing as Tiyu. So there's a hatred to take the Kelim Na'im out of the Sukkah with both Yom Tov Achol and Shalach Chag. So then the Torah is also saying, so it's Tad Rabin Tam Rambam. Otherwise, if it's part of the Mitzvah of Sukkah, you wouldn't be able to take them out to the after Tesh Kochod.
No, unless you just...
You can only do it then, it means that it's...
Right, Adarabah. Right, Adarabah. Although, notice, it doesn't say Kelim Na'im in that Mishnah. It just says taking out your stuff. So it could be the kelim norm is optional, but just that basic kelim is necessary to eat on. Right? Right? So I don't think it proves either way. You could say that proves the kelim are an absolute obligation. There's only a heter for Yom Tov Achron, which Chaim was saying. Or you could say, no, that just means basic kelim, so you'll be able to eat, because we don't want to put you in a situation where you aren't able to eat in your sukkah.
And so for the Rambam, why is Ian a preference? Meaning it's a preference because generally people would not learn...
Yeah, because of Bittul Torah.
Because of Bittul Torah. So yeah. Then what? Okay.
Qualitative Bittul Torah, obviously. Okay.
It's an existential observation that outside the sukkah... Or inside the
sukkah, no, I'm not claiming it's an existential observation at all. I'm just claiming it's a rule of thumb. I'm not at all claiming it's an... I didn't even think the Rav would claim this is an existential observation. Although one never knows. He was chashud on these things. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara then. Continuing in the Gemara, you have this very complicated sugya cheski when you get a chance. Yeah, fine.
When you get to the point of when you're now we're really trying to be unit as far as in the Yemen, so then you'll say but you have to experience that for
Okay, that's an interesting deal. I thought he was just working off the Gemara in the Tav Daf Chav Tes, where they say what they used to do was Migros first, and then Iyun, right? They would Rahib B'Shmaitza, and then Ma'ayim B'Svara. So he was just discussing what they would usually do. So I understand, you want to be like, it's not that, but that's how you usually do. It's that, right, but I'm saying, because that's what people often do. And you're saying, no, maybe it's B'davka. So I'm just saying, because normally, like, people aren't Ma'ayim until they're Kori. Like, what are you going to be Ayin in until you're a Kori? Just practically. Like, what are you going to sit and be Ayin in if you're not Kori first? Right? So I was reading that where it was just practical. I hear what you're saying. I have to think about it. But you understand it could be practical, because what are you Ayin until you're Kori?
So how would that look when I said
what?
Doing the Kori also outside?
No, that I said, and I'm learning, I'm Kori some things, and then I want to think about them deeply. When I think about them deeply, so when I'm Ayin, I want to get all this far with the shelves to be Ayin, then I move to the house.
Right, but meaning from, you're saying you think Rashi and Tos would agree with that too?
I think so, but I can't promise. Okay, continuing the Gemara of Testament Aleph, we have this Gemara Amar Rava. Money Mishim Talalta, money Michla Barmim Talalta. Drinking utensils are in the Sukkah, eating utensils are not in the Sukkah. And here we have two fundamentally different ways of reading this Gemara, as what's the difference between eating utensils and drinking utensils, or more pointedly, what's the Chisaron? What's the problem? What's so bad about eating utensils? Okay, where do we find the two shitas about what's so bad about eating utensils? Right. Basic Judaism, where do we find two shitas on the Gemara?
Rashi tells
us, good. Rashi says, what's the problem with eating utensils? They're mo'os. If you think about it, when I drink from a cup, The cup doesn't get, I mean, the truth is if you have juice and there are flies, sure, but usually when you drink them in cusps, it doesn't, like, doesn't get, it's not so disgusting if you leave it on the table. But food, it's disgusting to leave the leftover food on the table. It's just, we all know that dirty plates are much more disgusting than dirty cups. And therefore, Rash says, the isser is you're not allowed to have disgusting things in the sukkah. Right? L'chor, it's an isser, right? It's not just, you know, it's just optional. So as Rashi says, he says, the fisheinu ma'usim, the money mishir are not ma'usim, implying the money michla are ma'usim. So Rashi says it is because of mius. Right, so what's wrong with the money michla? So Rashi, first of all, what are money michla and what's wrong with them? So Rashi says money michla are dirty plates. Right? What are they? And what's the problem? He says they are dirty plates. And what the problem is, mius. Right? The mitzias is dirty plates, and the problem is mius. They're disgusting. Okay, what's so bad about having disgusting things in the sukkah? By the way, the Ravid on the bottom of the riff very, very strongly agrees with Rashi on this. Rashi and the Ravid, this definitely Shittas Yachid. Most of the Rishonim reject Rashi. Rashi, Ravid, others also. What's so bad about Mius? What's so bad about Mius?
It'll mean the whole
sukkah. So says the Bach, what's wrong with the Mius? He says, Shalotei mitzvah sukkah bezuya alav. It's a bizuy mitzvah of sukkah to have disgusting things in the sukkah. So what's so bad about mius? Says the Bach, because of bizuy mitzvah. However, that's not why the Ravid thinks it's bad. Did you notice the Ravid on the bottom of the riff, why he thinks it's a problem? Why does he think it's a problem? The Ravid on the bottom of the riff says, louder?
Maybe I'll be.
Exactly. Says, what's the problem? The problem is that the time of the ha-paslos, the reason this is puzzle, she naturally cuts them because people are disgusted by them, a dilmat shavik lova nafik. You might leave your sukkah. It's exactly you might leave your sukkah. Meaning, he doesn't think it's fundamentally problematic like the Bach. He thinks, and maybe you could be like a Rashi like the Bach, since he didn't say anything more. He just thought it was obvious what was wrong with Mius. So it's obvious it's a fundamental problem. He says, no, it's not a fundamental problem. It's just because you might leave your sukkah. And then it would be a bit lasse if you left your sukkah. The Milchama says the same thing. Eino Rashi lechnisan be sukkah. Dilma shavik love enoughik. Right? Dilma shavik love enoughik. Right, so Lechora, I guess we could also put on Rashi's side, right? Right, says the Ravid and the Ramban, right? Dilma shavak la the nothing. Maybe you'll abandon your sukkah and leave. So here it's a fascinating machlokis. If we are dealing with mius, right? If the issue is mius, what's so bad about mius? So the Bach says it's just a bizoy mitzvah, what we all thought, bizoy mitzvah, right? But interestingly, the Rishonim did not say that. The only Rishonim I found to discuss this, which are the Ravid and the... Now, I know the Bach quotes the Orchaz Chaim, but it's disingenuous. The Orchaz Chaim was not based on our sugya. The Orchaz Chaim said it not based on our sugya. The only Mishonah I've had to discuss this, the Ravid and the Bala and the Mechamos on the Balamor, both say it's the Gzeira because you might leave your sukkah, not because there's something fundamentally problematic with this disgusting things. Why weren't they worried about Bizui Mitzvah? So here, I can only speculate. Like, what's the machlokas here? It seems so fascinating. The Bach says, obviously Rashi is from Bizoy Mitzvah. Shelo ye mitzvah sukkah b'zuya alav. And the Ravid Mochamos, like, it's intuitive to me. It was intuitive to me like the Bach when I read Rashi. As a matter of fact, it was so intuitive, I even forgot to put the Bach on the course list of 21, right? It was Xerox there. But I don't think I actually put it on the list. The Ravid and the Ramban are saying, no, because you might leave. Like, if you stayed, it would be fine. We're just afraid you might leave. So I think you could see this in one of two ways. Exactly. I think you could see it in one of two ways. Meaning, there's a general halach of bizoy mitzvah, right? How do we know? Is there a general rule in Isser bizoy mitzvah that you can't have anything, you know, improper or disgusting on mitzvahs?
Like it's by
what?
There's Hanukkah.
Okay, that's a little different, but better. In the sugya of Neres Chanukah and Shabbos, right, in Yonah Diyom already, they say that Shaloyim mitzvahs b'zuyas olav, and they darsh it for a pasuk of v'shafach es damo v'chisahu ba'afar. There's a certain hekesh, but masha shafach yichase, that since you shecht with your hand, you should do kisui adam with your hand, because obviously, how would someone think do kisui adam? With their foot, right? Just kick some dirt. But that is not a kicking something. It's not a respectful way of doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah, you do your hand. Because, so if it says, okay, from here we learn that you always have to have covered mitzvah, isra of bizoy mitzvah. And they mamash learn it from a pasuk. So the interesting question is this bechlal bizoy mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kula? Now, it's hard to find enough gemina because there is no other mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kula that involves having a place where there might be dirty plates. So we just have to, what I mean to ask is that, who has Kol HaTorah Kula on their side in this machlokas? And who's being mechadish something? So, one way of analyzing it is, what is the yesod hamachlokes? One way of analyzing it is that the Bach is just saying there's a general din of bizui mitzvah. Shalote mitzvahs bizui yosolav. Which is very similar to the Bach's lashon of shalote mitzvahs asukya bizui yosolav. And then why would the Raiv and the Rabban not worry about that?
They have the side of the Gemara Nid Aleph and Aleph, which they're paraphrasing, saying that, like, oh, if you have a very smelly sukkah, we have an annoying sukkah, so that Duma Shabbat love nothing.
I know, but that...
Meaning, why would you say if I have a smelly sukkah, it's a problem? Not ignore Mitzvah. Why don't you say it's a problem because of Bito Mitzvah? Because
I don't know if a bad smell is a Bito. Maybe, but you could be Michalik. I think clearly what they would say is, Teshmu Ke'ein Taduru is override. Bizoy mitzvah. No, not around bizoy mitzvah. Because sukkah is teishvi gein taduru. Teishvi gein taduru means you have to have a regular lifestyle. Now, I have to be very careful what I say on tape. But I've met people who, in their houses, sometimes the dirty dishes stay around for a while. And you know what? It's not that Emily Post would not approve, but no one dies for it. And you know what? Part of a lifestyle is that some people have clean houses and some people have messy houses and some people wash the dishes right away. And, you know, some people wash the dishes on Shabbos, some people wash the dishes as soon as they finish Abdullah, and some people notice the dishes on Wednesday. You know, you can't say that's not taste we can do it, that's part of lifestyle. Obviously, if you say that's not part of a lifestyle, that would be different. But part of lifestyle is that you leave the dirty dishes around, and you're not uptight, and, you know, you're not worried about, you know, if your Hungarian in-laws are coming over. And then you want to be able to chill a little. And therefore, you don't always clear the dirty dishes right away. So I think here you might say, the Bach is saying, Kol HaTorah Kula Bizoy Mitzvah. And the Rav and the Rabban would say, no, Bizoy Mitzvah doesn't bother us. Not to mention the fact, forget about the Rav and the Rabban. The most Rishonim say explicitly that Rashi's wrong and there's no problem. Plus, Rov Rishonim, who say dirty dishes are mutar legamri. Most Rishonim say, you look at the Rav Yoh, you look at the Mordechai, and everyone says, oh, Rashi is a schor in dirty dishes? That's ridiculous. There's no isser in dirty dishes. Why was everyone not worried about bizoy mitzvah? The Ravid and Ramban says there is a problem in dirty dishes, but have to find, like this, the problem. Most Rishonim say there's no problem. It's heter gomer. That's not what the Gemara meant. Only Rashi has a problem, according to the Bach, and let's assume the Bach is right. Only Rashi is a problem with dirty dishes. So why? It could be, again, either general din of bizoy mitzvah versus being overridden by teishvi gein taduru. Or there's another way to say it also. The other way to say is that this is not bizoy mitzvah. Dirty dishes are not bizoy mitzvah. Dirty dishes are not like kicking dirt. It's not a bizoy to have dirty dishes. It's in Kol HaTorah Kula would be fine to have dirty dishes. Really, you might say, and I know everyone like this, but you might say a different option. Maybe you should know. Generally, this is not considered bizoy mitzvah. Dirty dishes are not the end of the world. They're really not. Dirty dishes are not the end of the world. That's not bizoy mitzvah to have dirty dishes. Other than what did the Bach think? So it's interesting, the Lashon Bach. The Bach says, I know someone will say the third possibility. They're arguing about the Kol HaTorah Kula general standards. Fine, okay, if you want to, fine. But the Bach says, Shlo Yim Mitzvah Sukkah B'zuya Alav. Maybe sukkah requires a higher level of kavod than all other mitzvahs. Maybe the Bach would say that no, sukkah requires more kavod than other mitzvos. And here's really the question. Is it that sukkah requires less kavod than other mitzvos? Because not out of disrespect, but out of teishu king toduru, you know, part of being at home is having less kavod. And that's part of feeling at home, right? That, you know, people make excuses. Why do we talk in the shtiebel? Because we feel at home here. Not like when they go to church and they don't feel at home. That's not a good excuse there. But in a sukkah, right, a sukkah is not a shul. There's a famous maisa that I think it was Prime Minister Peres, but I could be wrong, came to Rav Amital's sukkah, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush. And he asked Rav Amital, you know, he came, you know how they all come, like with those like full satin yarmulkes, whatever. So he asked Rav Amital, says, tell me, a sukkah, is it more like a house or more like a shul? So Rav Amital was very impressed by the lumdus of, you know, and he started going into all the hakira, you know, he probably brought this, you know, he says, well, on the one hand, you have the shechina, and the sukkah comes from Lashon shechina, vasakos ala oron, it's like kaporos, where we learn asar tfachim, and sukkah, you know, by Hibisholim, sukkah refers to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Anonei HaKavod are about the shechina and the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, Teishu came to Duro, and he went back and forth, in the end, Paskind, it's really more like a house. He apparently misunderstood why the Prime Minister asked this question. So Peres took it and then continued. All right. If he had known, I'm sure he would have given a different answer. But that's really an excellent question. You know, let's assume we're going to wear a yarmulke. We're going to wear a yarmulke either way. But it's an excellent question. Is a sukkah more like a house or more like a shul? Clearly, on the one hand, Teishu came to Duru. But on the other hand, you know, it's the tzilo de Mamnusa, LP the Zohar, and you don't need the Zohar. The sukkah, clearly we say, Kashem Shachol Shem Shamayim, ala Chagiga, Kach Chol Shem Shamayim, sukkah. The one in the first parak says, there's Kedusha to the Atzei Sukkah, because they're compared to a Karban. And really, the whole idea of sukkah, especially if you hold Anonei HaKavot, right? What are Anonei HaKavot, right? Like, remember, we Paskin, Machaber, like the sheet of Anonei HaKavot. It doesn't mean sukkah's mamash, it's Anonei HaKavot. What are Anonei HaKavod? I know when they teach in kindergarten, they say, Anonei HaKavod, you know what we're remembering? Whoa, these Anonei HaKavod, they protected us from the wind and protected us from the sun and protected us from the, rained in the Midbar Sinai, protected us from snakes and from scorpions and from the slings and arrows and catapults and etc. That's not what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. It says Anonei HaKavod. Kavod. That's all true, but that's not what it says. It says that anya kavod. Kavod doesn't mean it protects you from the sun and the wind and the cold and the snakes and the scorpions and the slings and arrows of fate. The kavod means glory. It doesn't mean honor. It means glory, but very similar. And what kavod are we talking about here, of course? What kavod in the Chumash is expressed as a cloud? Anyone ever read Chumash? Yeah, Kvod Hashem, the Rabba Anan. I'm not quoting the pasuk because there's a few psukim like that, right? Kvod Hashem is always there, Rabba Anan, right? The meaning we're celebrating the Shechina. That's what we commemorate on Sukkot. We commemorate the Shechina. I give you a million mishonim I couldn't back this up, but I won't now. And it's clear Anonei HaKavod is celebrating the Shechina. The point of the Sukkah is, that after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when you've gotten to where you're supposed to be going, that you leave your house and you go to your own little portable mikdash. And you go in the tzel of the Shechina. It's a very holy place. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ari HaKadosh that you should be very careful not to talk Lashon Hara in the Sukkah because it has super Kedusha. Not because of the answer to Lashon Hara. I mean, he knew that also, but he's trying to inspire people. Right? And you don't inspire people telling them there's an answer to Lashon Hara. They know that and they're already used to that. But you tell them the Sukkah is very holy, then maybe they'll also stop talking Lashon Hara. This is a real tension here. Is a sukkah, on the one hand, Teishu came to Adur, it's supposed to be regular life. Regular life is chol. On the other hand, it's a place of Anonei HaKavod. It's a place of super kedusha. Obviously, the whole point of sukkah is to be that nexus. But how does that express itself, right? The whole point of sukkah is that on Yom Kippur, we're only kadosh by not eating and not drinking. And some people don't even sleep. And etc. Not Teishu came to Adur. And the next step is on sukkahs that we can even dafka eat and have the and have kedusha, which on Yom Kippur we couldn't yet. Okay, this is all very, very nice hashkafa. How does that get expressed? Is it like a house or is it like a shul? So maybe that's the machlokas. Generally, it's not a bizo, you have a mitzvah to have dirty dishes. Not the end of the world to have dirty dishes. But You know, if you're Pesach Seder, you had dirty dishes from the from the karpas when you set over the Haggadah, it wouldn't be a problem. However, Sukkah has to be kavod. It has to be it's a mikdash. Sukkah has to have an extra level of kavod. And therefore, maybe you need a higher standard. So here, we're not sure. Are they arguing whether Sukkah has a lower standard of kavod? Or maybe whether Sukkah Anani HaKavod has a higher standard of kavod? Either way, the fasting machlokes going on here, very fundamental machlokes. How do you relate to Sukkah? Do you relate to it like a regular mitzvah? More holy than a regular mitzvah, because the Sukkah has Kedusha, and a regular mitzvah is only mitzvah. Or, not less holy, but more homey, more home-like than a regular mitzvah, because Teishvin Kedurans were dafka making ourselves at home. And, it's only partially philosophical machlokes, because I think philosophically, they're both right. The whole point is to be at home with Kedusha. But how does that express itself is, what should the prime minister do, is a big machlokas here. So I think this is a very, very important machlokas over the dirty dishes. I'll just point out that halacha l'maisa, even though most Rishonim are against Rashi, and even though the Orchas Chaim is not saying what the Bach says, but the Bach says, because of this, the Orchas Chaim wrote, you shouldn't do any tashmish bozoy in the sukkah. So that's clearly working off Rashi, not to do anything mevuzah in the sukkah. What standard? We're not sure. But Rashi, even though most Rishonim do not interpret our Gemara like Rashi, in the end, and even though if you look up the Orchas Chaim, I don't think he said like Rashi. I think he just said this as his own idea. Nonetheless, the Bach says, we follow Rashi Shita, because of Mios, and that's the same the Orchas Chaim, and Halacha L'maaseh, the Achronim bring down the Orchas Chaim and says, you shouldn't do anything mevuzadik in the sukkah, and therefore, that's why we don't change diapers in the sukkah, someone asked, etc. The Taz writes, and there's some interesting ones, we don't change diapers in the sukkah. What about Tash Shamita? On the one hand, it's not something you do in the Mikdash. On the other hand, it's not mevuzah as much as, not mechubad, and it's an important part of Dira, without even getting into the Kabbalistic aspects. So these are all interesting tensions. In the end, all the posts would say Tashmish Shemitah in the sukkah. Obviously, within the bounds of practicality, we're talking, in the sukkah. But dirty diapers outside the sukkah. So it's a constant tension of how to draw the line between wanting to maximize the Dira kite versus wanting to emphasize the covenant, perhaps extra covenant you need. Okay, so we'll leave that. We'll just point out that L'maisa, we are Machmir for Rashi. And the Ramah even implies maybe that's the Iker. And we follow the Orchas Chaim that Aser Lasos Tashmish Mevuzah, or whatever his Lashon is, Basukah, you're not allowed to do any type of disgusting or inappropriate actions in the sukkah, and that's why for sure we do not change diapers in the sukkah or, even things which are less than that. We don't do in the sukkah. Okay, let me just mention the other shita. The other shita is, this is all one shita, Rashi and the Rambam. The other shita is Tosfos and the Bahag, and many others as well, who holds like the other sheet, the Tosus and the Bahag, the Bal Hamor, the Ron thinks the Riff holds that, etc., etc. What do they say? What's the problem here? It's not dirty dishes, but
the type of kli.
But the type of kli. What do you say? Kederos v'agni lisha, right? Pots and kneading troughs, kneading bowls. Or, when he calls the Bahag, beitavi u beitafi, right? Beitavi means tviya, right? Like roasting pits. And beitafi, the Gemara uses it. It's I think, a onomatopoetic based on bubbling pots, means cooking. Cooking and roasting, right? Kitchens. Basically, they mean kitchens. Kitchens do not belong in the sukkah, right? Kitchen equipment doesn't belong in the sukkah. Interestingly, that's not teshu king tadur. We don't consider the cooking to be part of Dira, that maybe it's its own philosophical thing that I'm not going to get into.
Yeah, but the Bahag only thinks that because there's a different house to do that.
Right, because he says, but keep in mind, house
really
means room.
Mean house, not
house means room, right? House in Rishonim always means room. What he means is that, exactly, that's not something you do in your living quarters, that's cooking quarters, right? There's cooking quarters and living quarters, and cooking quarters and living quarters, even though in our houses we have kitchens, we have dining rooms, Sometimes we have kitchen tables, but let's assume we don't. If we have kitchens and dining rooms, the kitchen is the kitchen, the dining room is the dining room, the dining room is the makom dira, the kitchen is where we work we work to prepare for dira. Okay, now you could have decided elsewhere, right? You could have made a different decision. You could have said, no, part of my dira is cooking. I know there are some neo-feminist philosophers who make a very, very, very big deal of cooking, and that's the ikar dira, and v'chuli v'chuli, and you can just Google Tamar Frankel, and you can find her book. But apparently we're not such neo-feminist philosophers, and we think that cooking is just avodas chora, is just scut work that you have to do in order to have what to eat, but...
preparation.
Yeah, but dira is when you eat. Dira is the dining room and the living room and the bedroom. Not the bathroom, and not the kitchen, which is not such a chiddush, especially in their days, that was mamash, a different house, and not the kitchen. That's what they say. These things do not belong in a living quarters, and therefore, al teishru ke'en taduru, they don't go in the sukkah, as opposed to mani mishtia, which apparently people would keep in their living quarters. It doesn't mean glasses. Glasses are not a valid parallel. It would mean like buckets of water. Apparently, I assume, but that would get in trouble a little later. A pitcher. Apparently, there's a pot they would not keep in their living quarters, while pitchers they would keep in their living quarters. Okay, so this is the second shita that it means kitchen equipment. Kitchen equipment. And the reason is Keshu, Ke'en Taduru, and these things don't belong in living quarters. Again, assuming the kitchen is not part of your living quarters, which is their judgment call.
Yeah, but now people have efficiency apartments and they have open kitchens, so it's all one room.
Right, so it's an interesting question. I've seen for the poskim nowadays who are still against the kitchens in the sukkah. I saw even from maybe Rosh Yoshua or something, what if like the only place you have is you could take the roof off your kitchen and that's where you can put your schach, like the roof goes up, you can put your schach. But it also covers your sink and your stove. And he even said, oh, great, so just put like puzzle schach on top of the sink and the stove and the kosher schach on top of the table so that sink and stove won't be in your sukkah. Like Ad Kedei Kach, he took it very seriously. I'm not going to get into Dovna Akuma here.
Or the Tosfos B'Hag side, so is it an obligation that they have to be on?
So hold on that. Hold that thought. So hold that thought. Great question. So now we just have one. Let's do one quick nafkamina, and then we're going to just try to finish this up in the 2 minutes we have left. I'm not going to finish up in 2 minutes.
But if you say it
and then I repeat it, we're not going to make it by 1 o'clock. And you know we always finish by 1 o'clock.
That's on the tape.
So the Rashi already said bimia. So seriously, the Rishonim argue, what does it mean outside the sukkah? Does it mean it can be outside the sukkah, or it must be outside the sukkah? For Rashi, it's a davar pashut, that it must be outside the sukkah. Like, that's a davar pashut. Like, obviously it must be outside the sukkah, because mios is obviously something bad, not something neutral. But for the other Rishonim, you can see, well, maybe the point is just you don't have to put them in the sukkah. You can put everything you want in the sukkah. You want to put a goat in the sukkah, put a goat in the sukkah. You want to put a bicycle in the sukkah, put a bicycle in the sukkah. It doesn't hurt. Just there's no mitzvah, there's no kiyum. It's not a mitzvah to put them in the sukkah because they're not living. So here you have really three shitas, but here is a nafkamina. Nafkamina, is it rishus or is it an iser? For Rashi, obviously it's an iser. Mios is a bad thing, whether it's because you might leave or because it's bizoy mitzvah, it's clearly an iser. Whatever mios is, it obviously turns into iser. But for Tosfos B'Hag, you could say, it just means rishus, it's a p'tur. Meaning, it can be outside the sukkah. Don't feel pressured to bring it in the sukkah, because that's not part of the chiyuv of teishu kein taduru. It could be rishus. And the Baal HaMor really makes it sound like it's a rishus, although it's not so explicit. Or you could say, by the way, what are the different shitas here? There are actually three shitas. Because if it's usser, it's usser lechatchila, or it passels the sukkah even bidyevet. Right? The Rif uses the word passel, sounds like it passels even bidyevet, and the Ravid takes that seriously. So what are the actual shitas? The actual shitas are the pshat of the Rif. The pshat of the Rif and the Ravid is that it's possible b'di eved. It mamish makes your sukkah possible. The Mishnah Berurah deals with, if you do have such a sukkah, should you say a bracha or not? Do you have to be choshes? Maybe it's possible. The Ramban in the Milchamos says it's aser midrabanan, but it's not ma'akev b'di eved. If you sat in the sukkah, it's a mitzvah. It's just aser midrabanan, and the the Ritva and the Ran bring two opinions. One opinion, the Ritva and the Ran, and maybe that's what the Baal Mor means, although it's hard to tell, says that no, it's optional. It's not an Isser at all. Just means you don't have to do it. And then the other opinion, the Ritva and the Ran, is that it's Usser. They don't say whether it's possible or not. Okay, so it might be optional, it might be usher, it might even be possible b'di'evet, because it's a very serious zera. So, if you want to say like Tosfos and Mahag, then it would make the most sense to say you're a potter, you don't have to. But you could also say, and we'll have to come back to that, that it's an isser. Why? If it's just a teshuva getting to do it, why it's an isser? Because maybe, remember when we said, the Rana daf mem ches, that if you take your kelim out of Hoshana Rabba, it ruins your kiyum sukkah, because if your kelim aren't there, then your deer is not kavua there. So maybe likewise, what if your kelim are in the sukkah? But you also put all your machsan stuff in the sukkah.
Right.
Then maybe that's mafkiya the dira. How can you say, I'm koveya my dira someplace where I'm filling it with stuff that doesn't belong in the dira? You can imagine, I'm putting my spear balatot and I'm parking my bicycles in there. How can you call that dira? If it was a real dira, you wouldn't put kelim that don't belong there. That's not dira. That's just eating in a machsan and pretending it's dira. For a real dira, not only does it have to have the clay dira, it has to not have kalem that identify it as a different kind of makom. So it could be that even though the pashtat you say for Rashi it's an isser mios, for Tosfos just optional because there's no mitzvah in it. It could be for Tosfos is also an isser and maybe even a psol, because the point is to make not to do a maisa dira, but to make this my makom dira. And if I put in kalem that don't belong in a makom dira, right? If I put everything that belongs in my machsan and my driveway in there, or even things that belong in my kitchen in there, then I'm not making it a makom dira anymore, and I'm ruining the halos makom dira. Okay, I'll just point. I want to finish sheet 21. Give me 3 seconds. Just read another line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Chatz v'shachol bar mimil talalta." Certain kinds of buckets and jugs that we draw water with are more like clay achila and are outside the sukkah. For amila shraga. Some people say the candle in the sukkah, some people say outflow, pliga, habasukkah, dola, habasukkah, tana. There's no machlokas. In a big sukkah, you put your candle in the sukkah. In a small sukkah, you put your candle outside the sukkah. What's so bad in a small sukkah? What's the problem with a ner, the sukkah, tana? What's so bad about having candles in the sukkah, tana? After all, candles are very useful. They help you see. So we'll just mention a few shitas as to what's bad. We're not going to analyze any lumdas, but Tosfos says, after all, it might burn down your sukkah. If it might burn down your sukkah, then that's a serious problem. Some of the Achronim say, it'll burn down your sukkah, and then you won't be able to do the mitzvah. Although I think if it burns down your sukkah, it might also be sakana. Apparently, they thought that you would be able to get out in time. The Re-Lunil and Rabbeinu Noach, the Re-Lunil and Rabbeinu Noach say that Zera Shema Yetze, Dibble Shavu Benafik, Mipnei Hevel Haner. You know what? It's uncomfortable sitting next to a candle. If you have no extra time, if you have no space, and your mom is sitting on top of a candle, you ever try to sit on top of a candle? It's very uncomfortable to get all the smoke and all the heat, and you might leave your sukkah. Okay, another nafkamina is the Ritva says, what does the Ritva say? Well, the Me'iri says something similar. The Me'iri says, Shema Yetzei, he sort of combines these two. Mipnei Pachad. Maybe you'll leave because you're afraid of being burnt, like a combination of Tosin. What does the Ritva say? What? Exactly. Mimma'et Shir HaSukkah. If it's a Sukkah Ketan, it's only Zion al Zion. But now you can't use some of it because you have to watch out to not get burned by the Ner. If you put a cup in the Sukkah or a pitcher, it wouldn't take away your space. You could go up to it and elbow it. But a candle, you have to keep your distance from. And therefore, it takes away your space more than a regular kli. Right? A clock doesn't take away your space. A book doesn't take away your space. Because you can always push it aside. You can always be on top of it. But a candle, you have to avoid. And now you don't have Zion al-Zion anymore. So if the sukkah is too small, it takes away the space of the sukkah. And one last sheet, what does the rokeach imply? What does Rashi say about the candle? He says it's made of... What does Rashi say? You didn't notice a Rashi? Ner shel cheres. Why does Rashi say cheres?
Because the metal might be different.
Shraga means cheres in the dictionary? No, shraga means lamp. Not candle, lamp. Why cheres? So lechor, like the Rokeach says the Rokeach, it's a problem, right? That, he says, we don't bring ner cheres. We only bring barzel and achoshes. Okay, why? It's davka cheres. What's the problem with cheres? Everyone who learned Masechah Shabbos knows what's the problem with cheres. Moksamachos mios, right? A ner cheres is moksamachos mios. Cheres, after you light it, it gets disgusting. So Rashi says the problem with cheres, and Rashi doesn't say anything, but if Rashi says cheres, so, lechora, Rashi, virokeach, he says it's because of mios. And if you'll ask me, it's mios. Why only in a sukkah ketana? So the answer is there are different levels of mios. A dirty diaper, even in a big sukkah, is disgusting. Dirty plates, according to Rashi, even a big sukkah are disgusting. A dirty ner cheres, if it's 3 feet away from me, it's not disgusting. It's not so bad. But if it's in my face, it's disgusting. So some things are only disgusting if they're in your face, not if you could move a few feet away. So those are the different shitas in... What? Yeah. And, of course, there are nafgaminas between them, right? The classic nafgamina, the Rosh already says that one... I mean, this is a trivial nafgamina. He says one nafgamina might be, what if it's made of metal? If it's made of metal, then if you're worried about all these pshatim, it's still usher, but according to Rashi, it'd be mutter, and therefore says the Rush. Since I paskin against Rashi, I say that it is. I paskin against Rashi. I say that it's usher, even if it's made of metal. Another nafgamina could be. Doesn't make a difference whether it's lit or whether it is not lit. And here we have different diukim, right? If the problem is chashreifa, that should only be when it's lit. An omelet one should be fine. If the problem is hevel haner and pachan and ma'ishir sukkah, then lechora, that should be fine, even if it is, that should only apply if it's lit. And that's Tosas Diuk, Madlik Basaner, that later on, the Gemara says in Daf Mem Ches, that it only passes the sukkah to light the candle. So then, another nafgamina should be, is the problem if it's lit or unlit? If the problem is sreifa, then it should only be a problem if it's lit. I think my makom only if it's lit. An unlit, you know how small these were? They were like this size. If it's not lit, it's not my your sukkah. You just knock it on the side. It's no big deal. But if the problem is cheres, then maybe it would only be a problem if it's unlit. Because the lechora, the ikar mios, is sitting and looking at it, not when it's burnt. Although, that's not 100% clear. Rashi is not 100% clear on it. But you would say maybe only unlit. Some Rishonim are meduyik both ways. Maybe they think it's mios both ways. It's unclear. In Shabbos, only mutzamachos miot. It's only mutzamachos mios. Or no, okay, forget that. Anyway, so then yesh la'ayin. It could be that when it's burning, so it's clean. Everything burning is clean. It's only after it's burning that it looks gross. Although I'm not sure because I never had a ner cheres myself. Anyone had one home to share with me? But these could be some nafgaminas. Okay, we'll pick up Mir Tzashem with rain. The only sugya we have left to do is rain. A Mir Tzashem on Thursday, and that'll be your last sugya on this parak. Have a great day, everyone.